Blog Talk Radio.
So, hi, it's Ken Shepherd. Sorry I'm a couple of seconds late. Just wanted to let everybody know that we're happy to be here today. For those of you who don't know me, I have been in real estate for about 30-plus years, doing investing in all kinds of stuff, creative financings, loans, purchases, partnerships, things like that, equity participations, credit enhancements, all kinds of creative things. We have a website which you can look at to learn more about us, which is www.creativeflipsplural.websplural.com. Flips like flipping a pancake, webs like a spiderweb.com. Our email address is F as in Frank, C as in Charlie, I as in India, at Pacbell, PACBELL.NET. And our phone numbers, of course, are in the website, but I'll give it to you. It's 310-358-7087 or 818-585-9706. So we have a little over 28 minutes right now, and our call-in number is 347-989-1329 if you want to call in to us and chat with us in the show. In the last few conversations on this Blog Talk Radio, we've talked about different areas of how to find real estate and how to deal with real estate, and we call this how to work in real estate or how to earn money in real estate. I don't remember the exact title. Without any money, if you don't have any, and how to start making some. And I started that way, and you can too. You have to be very diligent in your work and motivated. We're happy to help you anytime. Just call us or send us an email and put Blog Talk Radio in the subject line, or leave a message and say you heard about us on Blog Talk Radio. Our Twitter feed is Ken, K-E-N, Shepherd, S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. And you can certainly send us a Twitter at that number, or at that address, I should say. So today, we're going to talk about REOs, but not actually REOs. We're going to talk about buying at the auction. Now, when you buy, we talked a few days ago about buying before the auction, and then yesterday, I think it was yesterday, in the last meeting or the last show I had, we talked about buying after the auction. So today we'll talk about buying at the auction. Now, of course, as I mentioned, just in kind of summary, there are three ways you can purchase real estate in a foreclosure situation. One is before the auction. The second is after the auction, and the third is at the auction. So today we're going to talk about at the auction, okay? Now, the auction is a very interesting process. The people you deal with at the auction are quite different than the banks. They're private investors, and private investors with cash. I live in California. I could tell you how it is here. I don't know how it works in a lot of the different states, but I'm sure it's very easy to find out by calling any local title company and ask for the advisory title officer, or any title officer at all, or somebody at the title company. You can always ask the title company just to refer you to somebody you could speak to about the rules of the foreclosure auctions and how they work in that state, or you can look them up or talk to an attorney, or any number of other folks can help you with that process. Probably also trustees who handle foreclosures. And the bottom line to all of this is when you're buying at the auction, you're paying cash and you're taking the property in its present as-is condition. Many times, because they're not vacant, you'll have to take them with the existing owners in the property. That can be very, very challenging because sometimes the owners are not interested in leaving the property. And it can be a very difficult situation if you foreclose and take title and buy a property at the auction only to find out that the owner of the property won't move. So you may have a problem there, and that's not really a positive situation because owners that don't want to move are, you know, are scared and you know, they may entrench themselves and not want to cooperate with you, and it could be difficult. But you could find a vacant house that way too. I mean, we've seen vacant houses at the auction. I don't like buying houses that have tenants in them that I've never talked to, because if that happens and I end up owning the property, it's a challenge to work with those folks, and they may or may not be the owners. They, once they lose the property at the auction, they're called adverse tenants because they're an adverse position to the actual owner of the title at that point. So when you go to the auction, you generally also do not get title insurance. At least in California, you do not get title insurance at the auction. Now, you can get a policy right after the auction, but it won't necessarily ensure you at the auction that everything is clear. You can get a property profile, you can even get a preliminary title report from a title company, but that won't necessarily tell you that the property is, in fact, in the state that it appears to be on the title report, because there could be things that are unrecorded that a title company can't tell you about because they don't have the social security number of the person who's in the property or owns the property. And so because you don't have permission to get that, it's a bit challenging. So working with property at the auction is probably, of the three ways, that is before the auction, after the auction, or at the auction, probably the most challenging and has the most risk. I don't recommend it. I do know people that do that, and they've done very, very well for themselves. But I also know sometimes that they have bought property that ends up having liens and judgments on it that didn't show up on the title report or the preliminary title report or anything, and they haven't found those. And then, of course, they have to deal with those after the fact, and that can be very, very difficult. And also you have other issues when you don't get title insurance, which is, of course, the condition of the title, the condition of the land. It's just a very challenging situation when you're buying at the auction. Now, price-wise, you generally will get property at about 50 to 60, sometimes 65% or even higher of the as-is value or the appraised value. There are a number of people that think that's a great deal, and they don't mind all the things that go along with buying at the auction, and they've been successful and more than they haven't been, and those chances they take that they are the ones where they're not successful, they go ahead and perhaps even turn those properties back and get a refund on their money, and like it never even happened. You know, buying at the auction is a challenge. There's no question about it. The people also at the auction are very sophisticated generally, highly qualified investors, generally with lots of cash, that are used to this process and are willing to go through whatever they have to in order to acquire the property, which means including evicting people, doing all kinds of things that they have to do in order to get control of the asset that they purchased. Now, the other thing you have to remember about going to the auction is there's IRS liens and things like that sometimes, and a lot of that stuff can be very, very tricky. So unless you're a sophisticated investor, I do not recommend the auction. But for those folks who do want to go that path, we're going to talk about that today. So the way you find out about properties that are available at the auction is simply look in the newspaper or check with your local title company for those properties that are coming up for auction. You can sometimes get lists from various services online with the internet or through the title company, or various other ways to get lists, which we'll go into at a later time, but this is more of an overview. And once you get the list and you can look at the properties that are coming up for auction, sometimes they get postponed and sometimes they don't. The postponements could be for a number of reasons: that the beneficiary, that is the person holding the note on the property, the loan that is willing to postpone to work something out with the borrower, or there's a bankruptcy, or there's some other kind of court proceeding to prevent the sale, or any number of things. And so when you go to an auction, you don't necessarily have an auction. You know, they get postponed. So you have to be prepared for that. The other thing is, before the auction, I would suggest driving by any properties you plan to bid on, so you can find out if they are, in fact, occupied or vacant. If you're bidding on properties that are units, and commercial property, of course, it's not as important, in my opinion. regarding the vacancy issue as it is if you're in a single family home. Because single family generally is the owner or is a tenant of the owner, and either way it's a bit of a challenge, specifically if it's the owner. So you drive by the property, then you could pull, like with a pre-foreclosure or a post-foreclosure, you can pull a property profile, look at the situation regarding the status of the property, if there's any loans on it. In California, and I think this is probably true in other states, when a property goes to the junior liens, that is the ones that are recorded after the original lien, unless there was a special arrangement, which there can be sometimes. And we'll go into that also in another discussion. But to keep this one kind of simple and basic, the whole idea when you go to the auction is to make sure that when you buy a property, you really know what you're getting as much as you can. Now, you can, of course, do comparable sales on any property. You can do all kinds of research to find out about what's going on in the neighborhood, if there's any development plans or things like that. You can check all that like you can on any property, whether it's before the sale, after the sale, or at the sale. So that doesn't change. But what does change is how you acquire the property. You're not going to deal with the lender in most cases. You're not going to deal with the borrower in most cases, or in all cases probably. You will deal with what's called a trustee. The trustee is the one holding the auction, representing the lender, and will have the auction on behalf of the lender and take the highest bid. Now, in certain states, if there's a loan for, let's say, $100,000 and the highest bid is $60,000 and there's nobody preventing the property from being sold, the other $40,000 could be owed by the borrower, which is called a deficiency. Now, in California, there is no deficiency, but in some states, there is. And so you have to be kind of careful with that because deficiencies transfer, I believe, and you have to check this in your local area, transfer to the borrower who lost the property. Now, we're not attorneys, we're not accountants, we're not any of those things. We're basically real estate folks that just are in the business of doing real estate. So whatever you decide to do, certainly you're on your own. I'm also going to give a disclaimer at the end of this broadcast, and I'm going to start doing that on all the broadcasts just so everybody understands that we're not an attorney or CPA or any of that kind of stuff. And you should always have those kind of people around you to help you as you're going through your real estate process from any deal that you ever do. Okay, now, when you're at the auction, if you don't have the cash, you can bid for other investors that do have the cash if they give you permission to bid. And you can partner with them that way. That's one way to make money in real estate. I know a guy who does that. He goes to the auction, and every property he wins, he gets 1% of the winning price. So if the property bids for $200,000, he pays $200,000 on behalf of the investor. He gets $2,000. Not a bad day's work. If you do that a couple times a week, that's $16,000 a month. 12 times a year times 16 is almost $200,000 for providing investors with somebody that can bid on their behalf at the auction so they don't have to be there. So you can work with investors to look at the properties and all that kind of stuff. Now, this doesn't apply to every investor, but it is one way you can make money with the properties at the auction. Another thing you could, of course, do is bid yourself or bring in investors to bid with you and actually be the buyer rather than just buy on behalf of another person. That's one other way. Another way to learn about the auction process is simply just go to the auction and stand around and watch who bids, and then introduce yourself to them and talk to them about looking for properties for them. They're obviously investors, so they're investors with cash, and they might be looking for other property, and you could find out how they want it, what they're looking for, and how they want to go about having you help them if they do. And that could be a way to make a lot of money without any real problem, because you're not actually bidding at the auction in those properties because they're following those anyway, but you're maybe providing them with other properties. So it's another way to find investors is really what I'm saying. The other thing you'll find at the auction is you'll find people that are from title companies. You'll find people that are realtors. You'll find investors. You'll find trustees who represent the lenders. You'll find all these folks. And if you start building your network, you can start really knowing a lot of good people and start looking for deals and help put things together and be part of things and get paid for being a kind of an arranger. That's a nice way to get paid, is by being an arranger and just kind of putting the pieces together and getting a compensation for helping arrange everything, finding different pieces, doing some research, this, that, the other thing. All these things are things you can do in order to create income for yourself when you don't have any. Now, one of the other things is, of course, the challenges for some people is they work and they can't get to the auction. Well, that's definitely a concern. You could look for somebody else that does not work or doesn't work at those hours and can go to the auction on your behalf, maybe by putting in a help wanted ad in Google or something like that. You just have to keep thinking creatively. We're going to talk a lot about being creative all the time in everything that you do. And so you definitely want to be going to the auctions and knowing what you're doing. And if you don't know what you're doing, just learn by being there. So lots of times I've learned many things by not even saying anything, but just going someplace and being an observer and learning about how other people are doing it who are successful, and then becoming like them or modeling them if I want to, and all those kind of things. So the auction is a very interesting place. There's all kinds of auctions, too. There's not just REO auctions. There's probate auctions. There's different kinds of auctions that aren't even involved with anything other than somebody wants to sell a house through an auction or sell a property through an auction rather than through a broker, which, well, there usually is a broker representing you if you're doing it at an auction like that, outside of a trustee sale with a foreclosure. So if you own a property free and clear and you just decide you want to have an auction to get the highest price, you could have an auction. You could also have an auction if you're involved in an estate, somebody passes away, you could have an auction then to try and get the highest and best price. But we'll stay for this point, for the point of this particular show, let's stay on the subject of being at the sale. So a lot of times the sales are held on the courthouse steps. Many times they're held at various other locations, attorneys' offices. I've known them to be held actually on boats out in the ocean because they really don't want a lot of people coming. So obviously some people that are seasick won't be able to go on that auction, or those people that can't make it to the boat won't be able to go on that auction. The boat leaves at a certain time, and that's what it is, and there, you know, some people definitely don't want a lot of competition. So, you know, and you have to kind of watch those situations. But for the most part, auctions take place at courthouse steps, okay? And they take place during the business day, somewhere around 9, 10, 11 o'clock. Sometimes in the afternoon, they have them at 2 and 3 o'clock. Now, when you go to an auction and you win an auction, in California, you get what's called a trustee's deed upon sale. And the trustee's deed comes from the trustee, and it says that you have title to that piece of property as of the time that you bought it at the auction. It also shows how much you paid and the address of the property. I think it shows also the assessor's parcel number and things of that nature. And remember, if there's property taxes owed or all kinds of problems with the property, you're taking those on because you're basically substituting in for the borrower who's losing the property, okay? Now, if you're bidding on a mortgage, well, you're always bidding on a loan when you're at the auction. You're bidding to basically buy that loan out from that lender. So if the loan's $100,000 and the property is, say, $150,000, let's say for the sake of argument, the opening bid is $75,000, which I realize is a loss for the existing lender, and that's so there's, let's say the opening bid's $75,000. And the property bids and bids, and somebody bids up to $90,000, $95,000, okay? Now, if the property has a loan on it, and the loan is less than the last bid, the excess money is going to go to the second lien holder in sequence all the way till there's no more liens, and then the rest of the money then is set aside for the owner of the property. unless there's tax liens or things like that. So it gets, as I said, pretty tricky. And you have to be very, very careful. I have never bought at an auction. I don't particularly endorse that process because you don't get the title insurance, as I mentioned before. So what you do get at the auction, though, is you do get an opportunity to bid on a property without the participation of the owner. And if the property is vacant, it can be an excellent way to acquire property. Or if it's occupied by tenants and it's an apartment building, say a two-unit or a four-unit, and you visited with the tenants and you told them you're going to bid on the property and the owner's either abandoned the property or has for whatever reason, decided not to continue to make the payments on the loan, then there's a very good chance that you could end up with that piece of real estate. You also have to be very careful what you pay for property, because if you haven't been inside, you really have to kind of go by what's called a drive-by evaluation, because you can drive by, but you can't get inside to be able to really inspect the property. You might be able to look in the windows if it's vacant. I wouldn't look in the windows if it's not, but if it's vacant, you could look in the windows. Sometimes you can even get inside if it's unlocked. I've had many properties I've gone to that are vacant and just walk up to the door and the door's either not there or it's open or the back door's open or something allows you to get in without any problem at all just to look around. Don't touch anything, don't take anything, but just look at what's there and you'll see the condition of the property, because you obviously have to keep that in mind when you're dealing with acquisitions. Because the property is going to need some repairs. If it does, you're going to have to consider that in how much you're willing to pay for the property. You always have to know that you have the money also to when you're bidding, because I don't think you're allowed to bid in California when you go to the auction unless you show that you have the money right then and there. I think you even have to turn in your cashier's check to the trustee so they tell you, okay, if you have a $200,000 cashier's check, that means you can bid up to $200,000, not a penny more. So you have to make sure you have enough to cover whatever your total bid's going to be and whatever the trustee tells you their costs are, if any, and there you go. So you put your check with the trustee and you're a bidder at the auction. A lot of lenders today are having auctions through auction companies on properties they take back, but this is particularly something we're talking about regarding buying a property at the auction so the lender doesn't get it back, okay? If there's nobody bidding, the lender will take it back. But if there's people bidding, they're bidding to basically, as I said, purchase the loan, because you're not buying the property, you're buying the lender's position in the asset as a result of the fact that the borrower hasn't made their payments and has defaulted on the mortgage, okay? So, lots of times when you go into these environments, there are people that aren't the most, they need to spend a little more time learning ethics. I'm not saying everybody's unethical at the auctions, but I have seen things go on that I wouldn't feel are appropriate and I wouldn't do. The other thing to remember about the auctions is that when you go to the sale block and you've posted your money, don't get emotional. Just bid what you feel you want to bid. If you're planning to live in the property and it's vacant, don't get emotional. If you're planning to buy it as an investment, don't get excited and emotional. Keep your cool, because you're going to be wanting to make sure at the end of the day you don't pay more for that property than you should based upon the fact that you have looked at what's going on with the property and you feel comfortable with the property itself. The other thing to keep in mind when you're going out to look at property that's going up for auction is many times it'll have issues with all kinds of stuff. I mean, you may be foundation problems. It may be there may be somebody that died in the property. Lots of people won't buy a property where somebody died in the property. So you may not be able to find that out until after you buy it. And there are certain people that just won't buy a property if somebody's died in the property. So you have to keep that in mind. And all kinds of things to remember when you're going to the auction, because unlike when you buy a property through a broker or through a seller in a regular sale, or even through a lender after the sale, whether the lender has the property listed with a real estate agent or not, there are many things that you will not know when you go to the auction that you will know when you're buying before the auction or after the auction and getting a full title insurance policy. So you have to keep all these things in mind. The other thing is, make sure you're ready to be a very good detective and constantly follow the property, because many times they get postponed. So if you're interested in a particular property, you may have to watch that property for 3 months before it actually goes to sale, and then you may actually show up 3 or 4 times at the sale block, and they may postpone it right there on the spot. You didn't even know they were going to postpone it because they didn't announce it until right at the sale. So you could, that's the other thing about buying at the auction, is you could spend a lot of time and not end up with any inventory for your time, any purchases. However, that's part of the reason that you get the discount you do. It's all figured into your use of time and such like that. As I said, I'm not a big fan of buying property at the auction, and I know that a lot of people won't buy property at the auction as well, because, again, you don't get title insurance. But there are certainly those that will, and those that will are sometimes very, very wealthy, and, you know, and it's not an unusual thing to see them sometimes buy 3, 4, and 5 properties in a day. And then sometimes they're reselling them, sometimes they're keeping them. You know, you never know. There's also lenders that lend on properties many times in private lending, where they really intend, hopefully, in their opinion, to end up with the real estate. So they're really betting the borrower won't make the payment, because then they end up with the property. It's called, in the industry, a loan to own. Now, I don't endorse that, but I do know that people do that. And, you know, investors sometimes tell the borrower, look, I'm going to make a loan to you, and if you don't make the payments, I'm going to foreclose. And if I don't end up with the property at the auction, that's okay. I'll get paid my money. And if I end up with the property at the auction, that's okay too, because I got a property with a lot of equity in it, and I'm willing to take that risk. So it's all tied in with risk. And again, the key to this is always about risk. Everything you do in real estate is an investment. That's why it's called an investment. Okay? So you have to keep that in mind on anything you do in property, because property has its risks. It's not like buying a CD. It's not like buying any other kind of real investment. It's real estate. So keep all that in mind as you're looking at your deals. Hopefully this overview has been helpful to you. I have about a minute and a half left, so I'm going to read a disclaimer and we'll go from there. And then I'll kind of wrap it up. And we'll just keep watching for our next show, which should be soon in the next few days. All investment information that we talk about on this show has been secured from sources Creative Flips, Inc., which is my company, believes are reliable, but we make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy of the information, the views, opinions, conclusions, and other information expressed in this show on Blog Talk Radio are not the responsibility of Creative Flips, Inc. in any matter. Creative Flips, Inc. accepts no liability for the content of the show or the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided. Creative Flips, Inc. recommends you consult with a financial advisor, attorney, accountant, and any other professional that can help you understand and assess the risks associated with any investment opportunity. So that's our disclaimer. I'm going to start doing that at the beginning of every show so I make sure everybody understands that I'm not a CPA, attorney, or any of those things. We simply invest in property. So I have about 20 seconds left. It's been nice being with everybody today. Hope you've enjoyed this call. We've enjoyed being with you. We'll continue to build our relationship with you. Have a very nice day and successful investing to everybody. Bye-bye.